The first living organisms on Earth were probably these single-celled life forms that are called archaea. They're very similar to bacteria, except in a particularly important piece missing. It took eons for those tiny little forms to evolve into humans. But how did that happen? A researcher at Georgia Tech is working to answer that question, the very roots of life. Nick Hudd is leading the effort to discover that, and he joins me in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
So the piece missing from those very first life forms was the nucleus, and that's important to you because that's where the genetic material is usually held. Is that right?
Well, actually, what we're working on comes about earlier than the first cells that you mentioned. You mentioned that archaea, some people have hypothesized, are the earliest cells. They may be, but some of the very, very fundamental questions about the origin of life have to do with how did the molecules that made up those first cells come about? And so that's what we're working on.
Which is very difficult to track, obviously. And yes. And often we think of evolution as a biological process, and you're looking at it from a chemical process. How do you do that?
Well, we have some constraints on what molecules would have likely been present on the early Earth. We can run model chemical reactions that produce molecules that we find in life today, and also many other molecules that are closely related to those that we find in life. And what we're looking at is there the possibility that these molecules that are present in these relatively simple reaction products, can they come together and form larger molecules like those that we believe gave rise to life?
So how long ago are we talking?
This is on the order of 3.7 to 4 billion years ago.
Okay, so in order for life to form or for it to evolve, that means that at some point the organisms have to learn how to store information, right? They have to figure out how to remember.
Absolutely, and in fact, we think that some of the earliest molecules of life were what we would call informational polymers. Very similar to...
What does that mean?
I was going to say, these are long molecules, a poly meaning many, and mers just meaning that many things, many molecules connected together. And DNA is a great example of a polymer. There's many units connected together that store the genetic information of each cell. And so we believe that some of the earliest molecules that gave rise to life were similar to what DNA is today, but would have been simpler in some ways.
And shorter.
Oh, absolutely. The molecules that make up our genome, of course, you know, are billions of units in length. These probably would have been on the order of maybe 100 units in length.
And at what point was the RNA, the companion to the DNA, did that come along much, much later?
Well, some people actually think that RNA was one of the first molecules of life, and RNA is most likely older than DNA. Well, RNA is now kind of this intermediary between the storage of information in DNA and the synthesis of proteins in our living cells. RNA may have done a lot more early on in life.
What does this tell us? I mean, if we're going back billions and billions of years, how does this apply to scientific study today?
Well, if you look at the wonderful structures that life is able to make with the molecules that we have inside of living systems.
The molecules we have today, as opposed
exactly.
to the tiny, very simple ones that were present all the time ago.
Right. I think that it's easy to imagine that there must be some very, for lack of a better word, powerful chemistry that gave rise to life and all the structures that eventually make up life. And so we believe that if we can understand those earliest steps of life, it will open up a whole new dimension of chemistry, of molecules that can spontaneously come together and start to evolve towards more sophisticated structures and capabilities.
What does that mean? For example, what kind of implications would this have for medicine, or would it? What kind? If we know the roots of life, how do we connect that to the complicated chemical and biological system that is a human body?
Well, in our search for new therapeutics, many times we're looking for molecules that act similar or have structures that are similar yet a little different than those that we have inside of our bodies. And so We're thinking that these molecules that we're working with, or that we're looking for, that could be the earliest ones of life, could have great potential as new therapeutic molecules. But also, because we feel there's a distinct possibility that these molecules, as I said, could evolve into more sophisticated forms, we could use these processes to actually guide us towards, say, new materials, like biocompatible materials that you might use, say, in implants or for the delivery of therapeutic agents.
Okay, I am not a scientist. I was a music major, so I'm going to try to break down what you just
sure.
said. You're talking about finding molecules that are so basic that it's similar to sort of a stem cell, that they could be used in a bunch of different things because they're such a primary structure?
Well, let's think of it this way. The cells, all cells, not just stem cells, but every cell in your body is made up of some basic material, such as proteins, nucleic
right.
acids, right? And so we can use proteins and nucleic acids as therapeutic agents,
right?
We can also use molecules that are related to these, closely related, say changing one atom here, one atom there. Gives them little different properties, sometimes allows them to last longer, say, within a living system within our bodies. And so what we're thinking is that the first molecules that appeared in life probably were a little different than those we have in life today.
Yeah.
But because of that, they might actually have some special properties that are very beneficial in the development of new therapeutic agents.
That's really interesting. And my last question for you is, you have mentioned that this research that you're doing on the roots of life might actually have implications for space exploration. What does that mean?
Well, in order to determine whether life exists on another planet or has a possibility to have at one time or in the future exist on a planet, we need to understand the chemistry that gives rise to life. And of course, our best example of life is here on Earth,
yeah.
right? So understanding how life on Earth got started, I think, is going to be extremely important for guiding our search for life in other places in the universe.
That is Georgia Tech researcher Nick Hudd, his research focus on the roots of life on Earth. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.